Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
All right. Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. Mike Bledsoe here with Doug Larson, Chris Moore, and CTP behind the camera.
It's good to be here.
Yes. I'm looking forward to today's topic because we get this question a whole lot. And hopefully we can just say, link the video, and then that'll be it. So how strong you need to be to get the regionals? You have to at least be able to deadlift 1,000 pounds. 1,000 pound deadlift will definitely get you there.
Yeah, now, lots of screaming with it too.
Yes. First, make sure to go over to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter, and we'll send you the 8 snatch mistakes that you might be making that are keeping you from hitting bigger weights. So it might not just be a strength thing, it might be a technique thing. Who knows? We're going to be talking about technique in that video.
Or a mobility thing, or a fitness thing.
It's probably a technique
thing.
Who
knows?
It could be a lot of things, but we're going to address 8 of them.
It's probably a technique thing.
Well, a lot of people want it to be technique, I think, because getting strong is hard, and sometimes people think that technique is just something that'll click once, and now they get a PR. Click once.
But don't you think it's more like...
And strength's like a journey.
Isn't it more like there's oftentimes no technique, and then coupled with that, there's oftentimes also no strength. So sort of both things are not
well,
there.
I think beginners get a lot of bang for their buck from focusing on technique, and so they may get like really strong in the first 12 weeks of training. You know, some like nervous system adaptations come really quick.
Just getting organized.
Yeah, and then moving better just generally, and then they are working on snatch, and then they start seeing big numbers, not big numbers, but. Start hitting PRs real frequently, but it's based more on their technique than strength. Mm-hmm. And then when that stops, then the bummer comes because now you actually have to get stronger.
You did a weightlifting presentation one time where you were talking about the balance between strength, mobility, and technique. And really, that's like the magic triad for
the
weightlifting.
Triad.
The magic triad for weightlifting is strength, technique, and mobility. If you don't have either one of those, then
it's not gonna work.
Then you're never gonna get to where you could be if you had all three of those things handled.
Yeah, I think especially with the mobility thing, that's the thing that people hate to hear the most. I'm like, what do I need to do? They take this video of the snatch and they go, what can I improve? I'm like, you're ankle mobility. They're like, oh, that is not what I would. Is there anything else? I'm like, no, that's it. That's the one thing. I'm sorry.
Mobility is definitely the thing that you need first. If you can't get into a position at all, then you can't do it and explosively. And
you're just
going
to ingrain all the wrong ways to do it, right?
Yeah. First, you must get in the position. If you're not mobile enough to get in the position, you're shit out of luck.
And then you got
to
get good in being in that position.
Then you got to be able to go from position to position well. And then after you get from position to position well, you got to be strong in each one of those positions.
Yeah.
And then you got to get fast at it. So mobility first.
Mobility
all right,
first.
Now,
you
now
just like the chicken
that.
And egg thing solved. You just
chicken
made a
and the egg.
Provocative
Done.
Big statement.
Done.
Nugget.
So we're talking about getting being strong enough for regionals. What about just being strong enough for the open?
Well, the open's an interesting thing where it, for the most part, most of the movements in the open, as far as competitive CrossFitters go. Most of the movements aren't that heavy. If you look at it in comparison to regionals or in comparison to the games or especially other strength sports like competitive weightlifting or competitive powerlifting or strongman,
modest
it's
stuff.
All relatively light. You know, even if it's, you know, 150-pound snatches and that's heavy for you, it's heavy for a lot of people, but 150-pound snatch is not really that heavy overall. So as far as how strong you need to be to just do the workouts where you don't just DNF and say, I can't do that at all. Like some people just can't do a muscle up and they just get to the muscle up part and they go, oh, can't
Fuck.
Do it. I'm out.
Yeah.
You need to have some requisite amount of strength, but overall the amount of strength that you need just to compete in the open isn't that high. But if you want to do well enough to go to regionals, then that's a whole different story because all the regionals competitors nowadays are viciously strong and in very good shape, and it's very competitive.
Kind of a good point about that. If you can execute all those things and do well in the open and you're not very strong, good for you. But there's also the thing. By the time you get to the point in the cycle when things get heavy, you're getting pretty worn out by that point now. Because everything is such a high percentage of your strength level anyway.
Yeah, people would say you don't have to be that strong to do well in the open. I mean, everyone that does,
by the time
best people that are in the open
by the time
happen to be pretty strong when they're at regionals.
By the time shit starts getting hard, you are exhausted. And now everybody's now starting to try. And now you're not going to win.
Right. So while it's true what I just said, you don't have to be that strong just to participate. Yeah, if you want to do well and go to regionals, you definitely have to be very strong. So strength is your foundation for pretty much all movement. You got to be strong enough to move at all. It's all a strength thing just to be able to to move in any movement pattern.
To pick up pencils.
Yeah.
You have to have a requisite amount of strength to pick up a number two pencil.
Right. So you're doing
that's
all right
like,
if you're
a cardio
sentient
thing.
Human
that's
being.
A strength thing. Picking up a pencil is a strength thing. It's not a cardio thing, which is why they train old people for strength, because most old people aren't strong enough to do anything that's cardiovascular
taxing. And we know
there were
cardio fiends in the past anyway.
Well, Dr. Gaffman's got that evidence on strength and basically being alive longer, right? Fuck. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, leg strength's like one of the number one things that influences your mortality.
It was the number one predictor of like having good heart health was leg strength above like any type of blood draws you could do. Yeah.
If you're a 50-year-old man and you're squatting like your body weight for 10, no problem. You're doing all, you got no worries about your capacities. You're doing all right.
So the fallacy is that people think that since the open is mostly light movements and that's mostly a muscular endurance thing, they don't focus on strength as much as they probably should. So what the research basically says on this, and I talked about this in one of our launch videos for the Road to Regionals program. I think it was launch video 2 if you want to go look at that video. I'm not even sure what the link is anymore, actually. I'll put that video out somewhere.
We hit it. We hit the video.
We hit it.
This is a game.
It's a secret.
This is a puzzle, dear listener.
If you can find it, you get a prize.
Right. It's like a golden ticket.
Right. So when you think about endurance, you tend to think about her muscular endurance. You tend to think about lots of repetitions. But if you think about doing, we'll say, a squat with 315. Well, if you can do 5 reps with that and then you train really hard, you get stronger or whatever. And now you can do 8 reps with that. Your strength endurance, your muscular endurance with that weight has improved. What the research basically shows is that unless something is less than about 40% of your max, then doing repetitions and practicing with that weight isn't going to help you as much as simply getting stronger. So here, as an example, if I can squat 300 pounds and 40% of 300 pounds, you see me thinking, is 120.
Good job.
Basically,
pressure, man.
I know.
Mike and I are getting clammy hands. Like, fuck, don't ask us what it is. iPhone, hit pause on the recording.
Right, so if in a competition, now you have to do squats with 225 pounds, it's going to be better and more beneficial for you to simply try to increase your one rep max and make 225 a lesser percentage of your one rep max, and that's what's going to probably improve your muscular endurance the most at that weight. Not that
you can't improve your muscular endurance otherwise, but this is going
to
be
you can dabble in both. You can do both strategies to some extent.
This is the fastest way there.
Yeah, you could practice doing squats with 225 and do lots of high rep squats with 225, and that probably in and of itself maybe will make your max go up as well. That's a whole other story. But practicing 225 probably isn't the fastest way to get good at doing more squats and have more muscular endurance with that weight. You'd be better off to go from 300 pound squat to 400 pound squat, and now 225 feels so much lighter that you can just do more reps with it.
Exactly, and if you do the other way and you're trying a bunch of reps to get good at the reps, like if you know you're gonna be testing something, so you're gonna practice that thing over and over again, it gets fatiguing. It's way more fatiguing to try that than just to get stronger.
Yeah, if you put us all in a room, we're gonna bench press, and you bench press 600 pounds, and I bench press 200 pounds, and Mike bench presses 300 pounds.
You're using way more relative resource to do this training, and you have less to devote to something else.
Yeah, if the weight is 185 pounds, and we're gonna see who can do the most reps, nobody walks in and goes, "Well, who has the best muscular endurance?" Well, obviously, Doug has the best muscular endurance, so he's going to win. They're going to go, no, who's the strongest? Chris is the strongest, so he's going to be able to rock out 185 pounds for 50 reps, and I'm going to be able to do 4. Right?
Probably, because I'm so sexy. God. His chest.
So muscular endurance isn't always a muscular endurance thing. If it's a high percentage of your one rep max, then it's more of a relative strength thing. So if that weight, rather, is just the bar, and it's 45 pounds, and now it's 300 pound bench versus a 600 pound bench, well, it doesn't really matter so much because it's so light that now true muscular endurance has a better role, and max strength doesn't matter quite as much.
And anybody who's like, I did more weight or more reps with an empty bar than you, asshole, like, really? Is that what you're bragging about? This is you're bragging about right here, man?
So if you went from 600 to 620 on your bench, it probably wouldn't necessarily make you do more reps at a 45 pound barbell for reps.
Nope.
You'd be better off practicing and improving your muscular endurance with that weight or with a similar weight.
It's under 40%.
Right, because it's less than 40% of your max.
So
the 40% isn't a magical number either. It's just around there.
Yeah,
that looks about right where you need to think
about
it.
It's going to be varied from person to person. I know when I looked at a lot of studies on like force, power, and speed and all this stuff, it was like the variation between individuals was pretty
big. Doug, would you go so far as saying is they're kind of in your head, would you think of there, that sounds about right for a ratio between like, here's what you're going to be competing with a weight, and here's about how far away from that percentage wise you should be, like 1RM wise. Like, do you think there's some way to come up with a good like ratio? Like, so you don't know, like, oh, 225 is what I'm testing. Let me make sure I squat 600. Not necessary, but if you squat 300, yeah, you squat more. So it's probably like a certain, we could probably figure that shit out. Right? Do some
science. If you want to make it super easy, 40% is close enough to 50%, you could just double it.
Say, yeah.
Say if it's 225, do I squat 450? Okay, well, I don't, so maybe I should just bump my squat.
That's a good, that's a good cutoff.
You can look at the weights that are being used at regionals and go, okay, I know exactly. You have to be at least like a 400-pound squatter or else, you know, that's where you're going to get the most bang for your buck. So like when I'm training people, it's like we're waiting till we get to a certain amount of strength, and then we're always doing conditioning, of course. You're not going to like go just strength train only. You're
don't
not going to turn into a power
complete
lifter.
Stop spinning.
Right. But yeah, and then once they hit that requisite amount of strength, then you start diving in, increasing the volume of conditioning and decreasing the amount of volume on the strength. And a lot of times what happens is the athlete will start, you know, at first they hate the strength training. They're like, oh, I want to do some conditioning. I like CrossFit because of the variety.
I'm going to lose, coach.
And it's like, well, we need to just improve your press strength, your squat strength, your pull strength, all that stuff. All right, and then when they get that point, they start falling in love with it because they're getting good at it. You know, people tend to like what they're good at. Mm-hmm. Just as they start getting good at being strong.
Not you, though, right? Just other people.
That's right. Not me. Just as they start getting good at being strong, it's like, all right, we're going to shift gears. And then, like, they're almost sad again. So it's like, you got to manage, manage athletes. And they're like, oh, I was really liking the weightlifting. I was like, yeah, but the goal is like the open, right? And they're like, oh, yeah.
Does that jive with your point where you're saying how if you have somebody who hasn't quite met that requisite benchmark, like about 400 or whatever it is for a female competitor, until they get there, you're not even ever going to de-emphasize the strength work, right?
Yeah, you know, it depends on the goals of the athlete. Some athletes...
No, I want black and white, concrete, yes, no. Tell me when you don't do it. Tell me when you do it.
If it were up to me and I didn't care about the feelings or the psychology of an athlete, then...
I thought you didn't care anyway.
You're saying you do?
I care. You don't ever de-emphasize strength until you get there. If the goal is to
people
go
probably
to
assume that, oh, because if people are trying to apply a loose periodization model to this, that's sort of inverted because they're not trying to lead up to 1RMs, but they're trying to build it on the back end and lead into conditioning. They're gonna go, well, I've worked on this all winter. This is as good as it's gonna get, right? Now I gotta shift into this thing, which is more reps. So people are probably automatically doing that shift, thinking they're doing what they need to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, follow a blog program. That's probably what's happening.
Yeah, that's probably what you're getting.
Like, on an annual basis.
So you're wasting most of the year not getting what you need to get out of your training, really.
Yeah, you get what you pay for, I guess.
Value.
So we keep talking about strength, but size and how big you physically are plays into this, too. If you're 145 pounds, but you happen to be freaky strong, still, getting bigger and being around the average size of a regionals competitor will help you. Because doing a 500-pound deadlift at 150 pounds, even if you can do it, is much more taxing on your body and on your system than doing a 500-pound deadlift if you weigh 210.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you can watch guys that have big deadlifts right next to a big guy, and they're going rep for rep. You can just tell the smaller guys.
Same with anything
falling to pieces.
Same with anything like a sled or any of that where it's been contested. And you may be strong as fuck, but if you're just not physically big, like pushing that prowler on a rubber surface, if you're not just a big person, is really not going to be a good time at all for you. You're going to learn the lessons of physics real hard. You're gonna get the lesson you teach everybody else, all physics. The fat asses. The lessons you teach all the fat asses when you're doing your kipping butterfly pull ups and shit is what you get taught when you put your hands on that big prowler.
Yeah,
that's beautiful poetic justice, really.
So how big do people need to expect to be?
So you're going break and then tell them,
man.
Teaser.
Yeah. Ha!
Oh, yeah, we playing that.
Gotcha. All right, guys, when we come back, we'll tell you how big you probably need to be.
How big are you?
How big and how strong.
That's right.
We'll give you very specific numbers.
Big and strong. Fan, it's the light. Yeah, it's the middle one.
Middle.
Oh, yeah. And we're back.
Oh, man, you scared me.
We're talking about getting strong for regionals, fool.
All right.
That's what's going down. We were talking about how big and strong you gotta be. Doug, the scientist over here.
Doug size. You gotta be him.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I was referring to Doug and the work he's done.
Oh, he's plenty manly though.
Oh, he's extremely manly. Yeah. I mean, I wish I could be as
you wish you were half the man.
Big and muscular as Doug. That's really what's going on. But he did. He ran some numbers. He went onto the leaderboard and looked at some profiles, and he found out how big and strong you probably should be.
This is data. He's got evidence here.
I basically looks at...
You can't argue with this. If you do...
You can.
If you do, you're an asshole.
Yeah, don't argue with it.
You're not arguing an opinion. You're arguing just whatever the data happens to say. So I basically went through some of the leaderboard data from last year, 2013, and looked at what I figured to be the bottom 3% of regionals competitors, because if you could beat the bottom 3%, then maybe that offers you a chance to make it to regionals. All you have to do is beat the worst people. You don't have to beat the best people, right? So I averaged out for women.
So you didn't like factor in the best regional athletes here. These are just...
It's not average of regional athletes. It's an average of the people that are at the bottom of regionals.
It's like the threshold.
Right.
You cross this, you got good odds.
Right. This is getting you just barely over the line.
Yeah, this would be just a hair there.
Right. A hair there.
Whatever that means.
I want to say something else, and then I was like, that's not appropriate.
All right. Okay. Well, all right, for good ladies, decision. For ladies, the average height for the bottom 3% was 5'6", and they weighed 140 pounds.
Sexy.
So what if they're not tall enough? What do we do then? We give them stilts?
Stilts. Maybe heels for the ladies.
It's the ratio.
Minimal shoes aren't working. We need some high heel CrossFit shoes.
It's the ratio. He's telling
you.
You
listen to Reebok?
Reebok, make those CrossFit.
That's right.
Stiletto shoes.
All right, so for strength for the ladies, the average clean and jerk for the bottom 3% was 169 pounds. Snatch was 133. Deadlift was 289.
Oh.
Back squat was 238. And they could do 33 unbroken kipping pull-ups.
Oh, shit. Wow.
That's legit.
Ladies, you guys are killing it. Damn.
I don't think I can do that many right now.
good string numbers, too, actually. Like, not unattainable. Like, most people, if they hit it, you got a shot at this with good programming and dedication and lots of calories.
Yeah, this is an average of about 15 to 20 people. So there's probably some fluctuation in there, but this is a rough good idea. It lets you know roughly where you need to be.
This is better than what you're thinking now. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. All right.
You were probably thinking nothing before.
Yeah. I'm going to argue. Show me your numbers. Where's your data?
Yeah.
For men, the average height was 5'9", 184 pounds. So it's not a terribly big person, really, compared to a lot of other sports, which is why CrossFit came in and they provided a good, awesome sport for all these guys that weren't 6'5". And
you gotta be
225 pounds.
A fit adult male.
Yeah. Like
that's what the size is.
I'm an inch too short and 4 pounds too light.
What are you at right now?
Damn.
You're 5'8"?
5'8", 180.
Weren't you supposed to be on some sort of bulking thing that totally failed, by the way? I told you it would, and it did.
In front of the world.
And everybody made me look like the asshole. Like, I told you, like, you won't do it, and you didn't. So I win.
You're right. I failed. I do have some good excuses.
So everybody does.
I've got it rationalized already, so with a button on top, so fuck it.
I have some really good excuses that we can talk about another time.
He's especially good at rationalizing.
I know. That's your skill.
I can
right?
justify,
like extra talented.
It's can justify anything.
Rationalization judo.
That's right. All right, so 5'9", 184. Clean and jerk was 285. Snatch of 228. A deadlift of 465.
Yeah.
Back squat of 400. And 55 unbroken kipping pull-ups.
Oh, man.
Which is a lot of kipping pull-ups.
55?
Wow,
I
mean,
if I could hang on to the bar long enough that it would take someone to do 55 pull-ups.
But I think about
it's like a whole minute.
Don't sell yourself short, coach. Come on.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, I think about the guys I know that go to regionals, and I think 55, I go, yeah, they could probably do that.
Well, how many is a good competitor doing? I don't know. I would have guessed like 40 or 50.
It's probably kind of all in there somewhere.
Was it? But again,
is that an answer?
it's probably just, you know, it's in there.
I mean, it's more or less if you think about it.
Yeah, it's
this
probably
is a nonsensical phrase.
It's probably right.
You're on your way to guru status.
That's right.
But these are fucking good strength numbers,
well,
man.
You know what we should do? We should tweet Rich Froning and just ask him.
Bro,
how many unbroken pull-ups can you do?
Yeah, tweet him during the show.
Yeah, I mean,
see what he says.
Bro.
What a thing to get tweeted.
So this is just strength. I mean, these really are super impressive numbers because a lot of these guys are doing these numbers. They're back squatting 400 pounds, but they also can run, you know, a 5:30 mile. Like, to be able to do both of those things is crazy.
That's really
impressive.
Hard, dude. Like, if you're, like, powerlifters would not be impressed with that. But, A, you're not running, like you just said. And, B, even if you're a light powerlifter, you're way over 200 pounds probably. So it's just... 400 pounds for somebody who's 180 pounds is a big deal. And doing it, oftentimes, they're doing that way more than just 400 or one time. I mean, this is a series of lifts, and they're doing all this running issue. It's really impressive. It's hard to manage all that.
All right, so leading up to the open, leading up to regionals, how can you get to these numbers? Like, what's your training program need to look like? A lot of people know what CrossFit training programs look like, and they follow a blog program, and they go to the gym, and they metcon a lot and whatnot. But to get this strong, you can't just metcon all the time. So what kind of structure do they need to have for their strength program year round?
Year round, man. That's a big question. I was like,
that was the hint.
I thought you were gonna say,
that's
"Hey,
supposed to be year round."
Hey, what are you?
Doug's like, "Wink, wink."
What are you, I get it. I get it now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. The time to get strong is now. So, really,
do you know what the saying was? Like, there's some. This is not unrelevant. The saying, if you're in the sun on a hot day, the best time to have planted a tree is 30 years ago. The second best time is right now.
That's right.
So if you're not strong, it would have been great to be strong last year, but when's the next best time to start working on it? Today, brother.
Right now.
It was like 20 years ago?
What? I'm confused now.
How did that cause such confusion?
We're both confused.
Yeah. Go ahead and make your whatever point you're making.
He's over there texting.
He wasn't even listening. What I want to know.
He dig a hole.
All right. So, yeah, the best time is now, obviously. But what I would recommend for a lot of people, if the open is within a few months away, getting stronger now could definitely benefit you. But more than likely, I wouldn't exactly push somebody that direction. I'm thinking like right after the open, that's the time to really focus on your strength. Or right now. And I think a big mistake people make is they think the strength comes quicker than it does. That's why all of training works this way. Is the fitter you get, the stronger you get, the smaller the gains are going to be from month to month.
You're
from
closer
cycle
to potential
to cycle.
When it comes harder. Yeah.
And so what I think people should do is right after the open, right after competing, or right now, is to pick a 12-week program. You know, do a 12-week strength program, whether it's something you find online or whether it's a coach that's giving it to you, and figure out how you can make that work with some CrossFit conditioning. You obviously don't want to remove all your conditioning, but you want the bulk of your volume.
You need to preserve the
emphasis to be on strength. I mean, you should be strength training probably 4 days a week, squatting a couple days a week.
I would reinforce the point. Be very careful not to just go mixing yourself. Have guidance about whether the strength work you're doing is pairing well with the other things you're trying to preserve.
That's why it's good to have one person writing all the programming.
Yeah.
Instead of taking this guy's strength program.
Don't do that.
And then stacking with that. It's not always a terrible thing.
You'll get cancer. You get CrossFit cancer if you do that.
Actually, my favorite one, if you want the simplest like strength program to pair, like it's hard to mess this up. If you want like the simplest strength program, it's probably 5-3-1. You can pretty much pair any kind of conditioning with 5-3-1, and you're not going
to
overdo it.
Yeah, because it's not designed to beat you up at all.
Right. It's a low volume strength program. Again, that's probably you probably want something more aggressive if you want to go to regionals though. So, I say figure out what it is that you're most weak at. Do a 12-week program dedicated to shoring up those weaknesses, and commit to completing the 12 weeks. People. You know, they say, hey, I'll focus on this for a month, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever. No, even if you feel like you got strong enough.
Are you suggesting that people might be impatient when it comes to getting what they want?
Especially
when it comes to training and performance? Back it up with sources. Oh, that's right. Everything I see all the time.
Yeah. So I see this every day. Yeah. I say, you know, do 12 weeks focused on getting stronger at that thing.
Minimum, we'd say?
Yeah, I say minimum.
Minimum.
And then retest, you know.
And if you are still not at what we are deeming here to be ballpark of what you need, the requisite, then keep going.
Keep going.
Fucking get back in it. Start again. Going.
Yeah, and so what ends up happening a lot of times is people will want to, you know, they'll want to focus on strength from, like, the end of the open until, you know, October, November, and they're like, oh, I got to get conditioning back I can do the open this year.
They're thinking this inverted, rightly so, basically, this inverted periodization model we talked about earlier, right, where instead of ramping up to strength result, you're getting really strong, and you know you got to transition in a phase-wise approach to where you're trying to get. So it's a well-intentioned thing.
If you're at requisite strength, I actually think that's a good idea.
Yeah, but if you're not, what I'm saying.
Right.
If you're not, you're making a well-intentioned move by trying to go in phases and build towards something, but you might just need to be staying where you're at.
Yeah, so you got
to,
you know, go
Don't
after.
Be quick to move.
People go for the short-term results. You know, they're like, I want to be good this year. So I'm going to go ahead and just sacrifice all that time spent getting stronger. I'm going to de-emphasize it, do conditioning, and then be disappointed again this year. So,
all right.
I feel like when people don't follow a structured strength program year-round and they try to do the whole constantly varied thing for their strength work, varied is okay. It's great for a whole lot of reasons, and it's okay for Metcons, but for your strength work shouldn't be as constantly varied as some of the other stuff that you're doing. A good, solid strength program. You were saying 12 weeks, 4-week blocks, 8-week blocks, 12-week blocks, whatever. You're going to do a 12-week block and then another 12-week block right after that. You should be doing strength training pretty much all the time.
Right.
And so you want to find out where exactly you lack strength, and that should be your focus, but you should have a balanced training program all the time. Where I see people fall short is that they think that just deadlifting and squatting and doing Olympic lifts and pressing is where it's at. And then they do gymnastics movements for pulling. They do kipping pull-ups and kipping muscle-ups. And they don't do heavy weighted pull-ups. They don't do heavy bent rows. And for some reason, the pulling for strength stuff gets totally left off. I see programs that have no heavy pulling, upper body pulling, vertical or horizontal.
There's nothing
in there at all. So that's why doing something like one of these very very well-established strength programs that's already balanced, everyone already knows that it works, is a great idea to adopt, at least early on. That way you're not missing out on something simply because you didn't even know that it was missing.
Yeah, there's strength progressions for the gymnastics movements I like a lot too. You're bringing up, the upper body pulling and even some upper body pressing, things for handstand push-ups, stuff like that is... away from the open, away from the competition, that's a great time to do the strict, do some slow, strict muscle-ups. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do some slow, strict L pull-ups and stuff
Another point I would make is don't be afraid. I got a question about this like a week ago maybe. So I was asking, he understood strength was terribly important. He watched a lot of the shows, we talk about it. And he knew, he's like, look, I know I deadlift like 300. I know I need to deadlift like 4 minimum. And he said, I snatch, I don't know what it was, maybe like 150. I know I've got to get to like 250 or whatever. He understood what was the deficit. And he showed me, he's like, what do you think of this thing I'm going to try? And it was well-intentioned, but it looked like a mix of just everything he could think to do. So it was like clearly a powerlifting component. There was lots of like powerlifting assistance work after the powerlifting component, like you'd usually see. Mixed in, there was like a Metcon here and there. And you can see where he had thought like, well, I got to do my Olympic lifts because I got to get better. So there was like 2 days a week where one was snatch, one was clean and jerk. But it was a big stew of all the main strength elements you can do. And it looked like, I told him like, look, if you're where you need to be, this is probably okay. But if you need to add 100 fucking pounds to your snatch and you're not necessarily new to the snatch, then you need a intense espresso shot of focused, really resource intensive fucking snatch work, man. That means like I think you should do snatching just about every fucking day.
Yeah, it should be maybe some type of variation. You should be doing snatch pulls.
Yeah,
snatch pulls are from a deficit.
Yeah, get with a coach, but you gotta understand like this. You have to work
behind the neck presses.
Like doing a deadlift is not gonna getting 100 pounds in your deadlift is not gonna fix a snatch problem.
No, it's not gonna
do it.
I know a lot of 500 pound deadlifters.
I know a lot of
powerlifters
want to think that's the truth, and goddamn it, it's not the truth. It doesn't work.
Yeah, if it were only that easy. Yeah, but going back to what Doug was saying with the talking about like you should always have a strength program, and kind of what I was talking about is let the strength program be the emphasis, the main amount of the main amount of volume.
Yeah.
The most.
I get you.
The main component.
I'm trying to think
of
how to talk.
Of your program.
Get your coach.
Yeah. The majority of your volume, your training volume, should be strength. Now, once you reach those requisite numbers, it doesn't mean you're going to stop getting stronger. It just means like, hey, let's move, maybe 60% of our training from being strength. Let's move that down to 30%.
You can de-emphasize
it. And then what we'll do is we'll go, okay, conditioning is now going to take up maybe more like 70% of our volume. And we're going to ease back on the strength. Ease up on the conditioning.
And then more variation can be done with the strength too then.
Yes,
I would
absolutely.
Say. That's when you can have, you're at liberty to have more fun and do what you see high level guys doing.
And
that's
still,
the time.
And it's funny because I see guys that are doing their strength training twice a week and they've got like 12 conditioning sessions in. Yeah. These are guys that definitely, they've reached requisite strength a long time ago.
If you see Matt Chan doing that or something, you realize that he's strong as shit. Then he tried this, okay? That's a big point.
So now they're doing this stuff and then they're still hitting PRs on their strength numbers. And usually what you're seeing is they're going for a new one rep max. They're just like, oh, find a one rep max. They don't do this every week. It's like every 12 weeks. It's like, it's like, oh, why don't we, let's max out on back squat and just see what happens. You know, that's something that happens like every 12 weeks. It's not something that they're like, it's not something they're not hitting PRs every week.
That's why you can't mimic. You got to be so careful when it comes to mimicking what anybody's doing. You got to be very careful in understanding why somebody's doing what they're doing. And if you ask them and they can't really communicate it, then you especially shouldn't try to do what they're doing. If you can't get a well-reasoned, well-intentioned response, like, here's why I'm doing this. Oh, it makes sense. Good. Thank you. They should be able to do that.
Yeah, we talked a little bit on the last episode that we recorded about the answer is always it depends. So we're giving all this advice about getting bigger and getting stronger and all that. But a good example that we discussed before the show is like if Chris Moore, as a 300-pound former powerlifter who has squatted 900 and benched 600 and he's been super strong for 10 or 15 or 20 years now, for you to focus on strength is losing battle. You're never going to be good at CrossFit by trying to get just a little bit stronger.
Yeah,
you have other priorities. You have other things that you need to work on.
By the way, I am entering, I'm announcing now, I am entering... No, I'm not going to say that. Go ahead.
I'm entering... Not the open, something else. I'll find something to repeat.
I'll find something to enter. Wink, wink.
Yeah, so focusing on cardio, muscular endurance, and Metcon fitness as opposed to strength is a much better idea for a guy with your background and your experience than focusing on strength and gaining muscle mass, because you don't need to be any bigger. Yeah. You don't need to be. You're not trying to gain weight to get to 185 pounds. You're fucking 300 pounds.
I'm a sexy, like I said, I'm sexy fat Matt Damon, really. But what would I actually do? I think, I've got to work a lot with some good gymnastics guys. Like, bring Carl in, pay him any ransom he wants. Like, Carl, how do I get off the ground and stay off the ground for long enough not to be a total asshole in this competition? Like, how do I get good at moving my body? I would peel back. I'd eat a lot less, peel back some tissue, be a lot smarter with the timing of my carbohydrates. That gets really important. Movement, quality, and learning to get comfortable myself. I would probably squat once every 2 weeks and be totally maintenance mode for that.
Yeah.
Because I'll put all my resource, everything I had to give to it towards the things that I have no capacity in.
Yeah, you can build up one heavy triple call good and move on to something else.
Yeah, I know it's extreme example, but I realize a lot of people listening to this are probably somewhere in the middle where it's like, you know, either you really enjoy strength and you put a little bit too much into that, or you really know you don't like to be strong. You know you have a weakness there and you're ashamed almost to try to tackle it and give it the time it needs. Like, that's where you probably are. Very few people are fucking like dead on perfect right now. You're probably just a little over. You got to know it's okay to de-emphasize or really put your weight behind that effort. And really let some other things just be not what you're worried about for a while.
People tend to make big swings. Yeah. And a lot of it has to do with like what gym you came from or what coach you were following or whatever. Some guys have like this big endurance background. And so, you know, but it's usually like strong guys that come to the guy with the endurance background that end up with really great benefits. And then you have like a lot of people with this big conditioning background. They start working with a strength coach and all of a sudden like things just start clicking.
They pair the experience with the new experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Showing up that weakness is the biggest part. Like if you have a big strength deficit and you get stronger, well now you're even keel across the board. You don't have any big glaring weaknesses.
That's such a good point, dude. Cause like, that'd be another thing. Like I would try to surround myself with guys who they were really good at moving.
Yeah.
And they were really good at the things like there are good movement places to train and just get used to being around that all the time.
What do you guys think? You think it's harder to, does it take longer to get strong enough or does it take longer to get conditioned?
Strong enough. Jesus.
I think strong enough too. I think getting strong enough to be competitive in CrossFit. Yeah, it's kind of a loaded question. We're biased. So biased is crazy. But I do think getting strong enough for most people, if I was to average, you know, like the 10,000 CrossFitters I've ever seen in my whole life, I'd say getting stronger is the thing that's going to take the longest because CrossFit is more of a strength sport than it is an endurance sport. There's a huge cardio component to it, but if you were to compare CrossFit to competitive weightlifting or compare CrossFit to marathon running or even the other more extreme ultra endurance sports, on the spectrum, it's not right in the middle. It's closer to the weightlifting than it is to the endurance sports.
I've seen people make that point. There's some people out there in the CrossFit world that are really upset that it is that bias.
And to those people, I say, that's you deadlift 300 pounds. What do you expect to be fussing about? Yeah.
So it takes longer to get to the amount to the strength level that you need for CrossFit because the standard is higher. The standard for strength is higher in CrossFit than the standard for endurance. That's why it takes longer to get there. It's not that getting to a world-class endurance athlete is an easy thing to do. It's incredibly hard. It's incredibly hard to be a world-class strength athlete too. It's incredibly hard to be a world-class CrossFitter, but CrossFit is so close to weightlifting compared to ultra endurance that the standards are higher, so it takes longer to get there.
Yeah, a lot of those guys are A lot of those CrossFitters are qualifying for American Open for Nationals, but they may not be qualifying for the Boston Marathon.
Well, now the events are, now it's almost merging at some points, because now they're testing the basic lifts in the CrossFit Games. Like, it's a little faster pace, but they're doing a meet in that, in those settings.
It's crazy.
It's beautiful. I wish, sometimes I wish that weightlifting meets would switch to doing it that way. Like, so-and-so, get on the platform, right? 10 minutes. How much can you snatch? Go. We'll give you all the time you want. You got 5 minutes. Please show us how much you can snatch. I wouldn't, that'd be
I wouldn't
fun.
Be, I wouldn't be opposed to it. That that'd would be
fun. Really fun meet.
That would be fun. Maybe we should run... or like, should we announce it? I'm going to bring it back up. We've talked about it for over
four
a year.
Four platforms side by side and do a meet like that. Should be fun.
The barbell shrug weightlifting total?
I think it's an appropriate time to bring this up. Yeah,
we have strobe lights.
Totally appropriate.
The barbell shrug weightlifting total. Or the barbell shrug total. Not the
BS total.
Yeah,
the BS total. I forget how this even came up. I think we were like driving in a car like a year ago, and
I was talking about
CTP's
can't remember.
Idea.
Well, I was talking about my favorite two lifts.
It was my idea. It was all my ideas are my ideas.
I was talking about how my two favorite lifts were snatch and back squat, and I wish that there was a competition for snatch and back squat.
Just for me.
Because I think you were talking about like competing with a bunch of like, you would win a weightlifting meet with a bunch of washed up football players or something.
Oh yeah, I was saying that, you know, like I was talking about my snatch being improving or something. I would get killed by anybody who's even remotely competent at weightlifting, but I can beat the shit out of mostly all X-beat up powerlifters at this lift. And I mean, it made me pretty proud, actually. And like, all right.
I was thinking, I was like, man, you know, if there was a competition where I feel like I would do my best, it would be like snatch and back squat, because I hate the jerk. and so I was like, well.
We got to talking about, like, well, it is a pretty balanced test. I mean, there's a huge speed and athletic component in a snatch, and then huge just raw fucking how strong
they're
you are in a squat.
They're pretty, as far as like what you would find in a weightlifting program, they're on the opposite sides of the spectrum.
If you won both
the
those events
over here, and then you have like the high technical, high speed over here.
If you won both those events, you'd be a bad motherfucker in that meet.
You would be, yeah. So one day,
Kendrick Ferris, if you're listening, I want you to
Kendrick
post
Ferris,
your back.
Come here.
Your BS total,
Kendrick
soon.
Ferris. Kendrick, tweet break us. Out your wallet. It probably says bad motherfucker on it. I'm telling you, it probably does.
Maybe one day we'll hold a meet for the barbell shrug total, and
oh, that'd be fun.
So we'll hold a meet and then we'll have a party. To be determined.
Let's mix them. Let's have like a smoke machine and strobe lights during the
smoke machine.
I was like, what kind of smoke? Oh yeah, like a decoration smoke machine. I was like, oh, that'd be an interesting meet, man.
All right, guys. With that, we're gonna sign off. Make sure.
Oh,
you check out Chris Moore's new book, Way Past Strong.
It's going
to
be good.
And you go to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter, find out how to improve that snatch.
What?
Thanks, guys.
Well, that was a really fun one.
That was fun. Fuck, it's hot in here.
It is.
I'm sweating.
It's like 75 degrees outside. That's. Yeah.